Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tribal Wisdom Radio, your marriage support network. Tune in for all things love, marriage, and family. We are devoted to love. Here we go.
Here we go indeed. Once again, it's another Wednesday that we are on Tribal Wisdom Radio. And it is back to school month for Tribal Wisdom, where we'll be talking to different individuals who have a vital importance to our education, to our students, and who actually make a difference in the lives of our youth today. Tonight on the show, we have Sergeant Major Patrick Johnson of J-Star Ministries. He is a United States Air Force. He served in the United States Air Force. He served as a medical center dispatcher at one point. He was also a high school on-campus suspension director. Today, he is a behavior management specialist that teaches anger management, amongst many things. He's also a bishop, an international speaker, and more. I'm so happy to have him on the show today and that we all get a chance to listen to how he's changing lives through his organization, J-Star Ministries. And his wife works along with him, which is just wonderful since you know that normally First Wednesdays is couples in business. So tonight I can't wait to have him say more about what we can do to work together to help our children in education. Why don't I just go ahead and bring them in? Sergeant Major Patrick, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How's it going?
It is going very well. Thank you. Welcome to Tribal Wisdom. We are so happy to have you.
Well, it's an honor and a privilege to be on tonight. We thank you so much.
No, really. Thank you. Why don't you just go ahead and just tell our listeners who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do.
Well, my name is Patrick Johnson. Married. Me and my wife, Shanna. We have six beautiful children, four daughters and two sons. We live in Harlton, Texas, and we have a nonprofit organization called J-Star Ministries, which stands for Johnson Success Through Attitude and Respect, and we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization that is specifically youth-focused. Our motto is helping today's youth become tomorrow's leaders, and our mission statement is to provide motivation, inspiration, and education for today's youth while enabling them to become productive citizens in the community and society at large. And so we've been in existence since 2001, and God is just really blessed. Of course, it all came from Him, so we give Him all the praise for everything. And thank God for my wife, my better half, who works along beside me. And teamwork makes the dream work. So we're just, again, an honor and a privilege.
Wonderful, wonderful. I like that. Teamwork does make the dream work indeed. Tell me a little bit more about how J-Star Ministries came to be, because your background says that you've already worked with youth. Before you started doing this, you worked in schools as an on-campus suspension director. You've also worked as a dispatcher. You've done a number of things that was already connected with youth. How did what you were doing before impact and help you create J-Star Ministries today?
Well, before I left the Air Force, I was a security policeman in the United States Air Force for almost 10 years. It was 9 years, 9 months to be exact. And I served all my time overseas. And before I got out at the time that they came down with what they called at that particular time the reduction in forces. And that was just a burning desire in my heart. I couldn't really explain it, just being honest. But I knew that God was calling me. And I explained it like this. It was a tugging on my heart to come back to the United States and to work with youth. If I didn't know anything else, I couldn't explain it, because along the way, of course, people said, you know, you're crazy, you're getting out, what are you going to do? And my thing is, where God guides, He'll provide. And so that never was a doubt or anything. I never regret any decision I made as far as getting out. at that particular time. And God began to just wake me up 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And I started writing out, you know, writing the vision, making it plain, and from the logo, everything, you know, God in the middle, you know, it goes A, B, C, D, E, and it has the, it's a star and then the shape of Texas on the inside, but God is in the middle, and, you know, you can't have a crisis. It's hard to be in a crisis without Christ, so he's right here in the middle and has helped us to, you know, reach the point where we're at right now, and we definitely have a long way to go.
Well, when you did come back and you said that it was just on your heart, I love that it was a burning desire for you to come back
sure.
and do that no matter what anybody else had to say about it. What were you seeing that made you realize that there was a need for what it is that you do today?
I was seeing too many young people fall by the wayside and seeing and hearing too many people complain, but nobody – It seemed that that, let me put it this way, it seemed that at that particular time there wasn't a lot of people stepping up doing something about it, because it's easy to complain and talk about how bad things are, but, and, you know, we should be, you know, a part of the solution, you know, and not a part of the problem. And so, you know, God is just looking for, you know, willing servants. And so, you know, send me, I'll go. And me and my wife stepped up, and we refuse to continue to let young people fall by the wayside, you know, when we know that we can make a difference and we can intervene in their lives. And we understand going into it that we can't save, obviously, every child. But I tell you what, you know, you always hear the saying, especially in church, you know, if you can save just one, well, I'm not satisfied with just one. I'd be foolish, you know. There are a whole lot of students, even as early as on this afternoon, I had a young man there. We stopped at Academy before we came home, and that was a young man that I worked with, you know, in my program years ago. And, you know, we gave each other a high five and hugged each other, and we just talked for a moment because I was trying to, you know, get home, obviously, for this interview. But, you know, just to see the fruits of your labor and what know that, you know, God enabled you to do that. And to see young people doing good, he's working now, has a good job and everything. There's no amount of money that could make up for that. It's just a great feeling to serve and to try and, you know, and to impact young people's lives.
I love it. When you say that young people are falling by the wayside, and we see it a lot more and more today, especially with technology being a huge part of that, I've just noticed recently something called the fire challenge and some choking challenge. And I'm like, are all our kids bored that we feel we have to set ourselves on fire? Not to mention just regular gang activity outside in the streets, people being bullied in school, just a number of different things that really right. affect how our children are behaving and how they're developing into the adults that they will be. What are some of the things that your organization addresses?
We address pretty much everything from A to Z. I have sense enough to know that we can't cover and we're not well-versed in everything, but we partner with other agencies because there's strength in numbers. And so, you know, if it's a particular subject that, you know, it's not my area of expertise, so to speak, I'll give them a number of somebody who, you know, they can call or whatever. And like I said, we partner. Kids that are fatherless, you know, we work with young men that are fatherless and do our Boys to Men. You have kids that are in a state of depression. You know, I'm meeting with a young lady, you know, on tomorrow, me and my wife, that, you know, is depressed and going through a lot of changes or whatever. You know, you have kids that, self-esteem issues, you know, low to no self-esteem. Drugs are a big problem. K2 around here in East Texas is a big, big problem now. Just a lot of young people, young ladies are looking for love in all the wrong places. No father figure there to tell them, you know, that they're beautiful. And I always explain it like this. If me and my wife are driving down Interstate 20, our main, you know, big highway here in East Texas, and if I fall asleep at the wheel and my wife and my entire family is with me, My whole family is in danger if I fall asleep at the wheel and I'm driving. And simply put, a lot of men have fallen asleep at the wheel, and you have families, you have children, you have a lot of young people that are in danger. And so we have to step up. We have to roll up our sleeves and get out there in the trench, and we have to be able to fight.
Now, you're breaking up just a little bit. I just want to make sure that you're still there. Can you just speak into your phone once again?
Sure. I said, you know, we see so many young people dealing with drug problems, young people that are depressed, young people that are cutting themselves, you know, just a number of things. And, you know, I explain it like this. If me and my wife are driving down the highway and on a major highway and I fall asleep at the wheel, and my family's with me, the whole family is in danger.
Yes.
You know, well, simply put, a lot of our men have fallen asleep at the wheel, and we have so many young people that are in danger right now that we have to, you know, be proactive, and we have to approach it in an aggressive manner because, you know, time is of the essence. We have to be about our Father's business, and we have to reach out. We have to roll up our sleeves. And we have to get out there, and we have to work hard and do what we can while we can because, you know, somebody's life is at stake.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
if I don't go and do my job tomorrow, if I don't go, there are kids that are dependent on me. There are certain individuals that I feel like the good Lord has definitely a lot he's assigned me to. And if I don't get up and go out there and do my job, those young people, you know, may, you know, possibly fall by the wayside. And so there's too much at stake to sit back and not do anything.
Well, I'm certainly grateful that you have decided to pick up the mantle to not fall asleep at the wheel. And your organization has put together two wonderful programs that I was reading about. One was the Boys to Men program, and one was the About Face program. Can we talk a little bit about the Boys to Men program?
The Boys to Men program came about, it actually started November the 16th of last year. The way that it came about, my coworker, and again, I've seen so many young people, especially young men, fall by the wayside. And my coworker called me, and she told me about five young men that were at Walmart and the police had them in the back of the car, and could I go over and check it out and see what was going on, simply because most people around there, they know, especially my coworkers, that, you know, I have a burning passion and desire to make a difference with young people. So long story short, I drove over there. By the time I get there, they're not there or whatever. And it had been, you know, some, you know, deaths in the community or whatever, young people getting killed and so forth, all prior to that, that simply added fuel to the fire. So I talked to my wife and I told her, baby, I know I have my hands, or we have our hands on a lot of different things now, but somebody has to step up and be a voice and make a difference with these young men. And I said, you know, that I wanted to do it, and I started writing some things out, you know, how it says in the Bible, and Habakkuk writes the vision and make it plain. And so I wrote some things out, and that particular night I had a meeting. And at that particular meeting that I went to, because I prayed, I said, God, if this is meant to be, you know, it takes finances to operate this and to effectively reach young people. And so that particular night, a guy donated me $1,000, and I felt like that was a stamp of God's seal of approval, saying, hey, look, I got you. And all that I feel like in my spirit God has ever said to me in my own way is, you take care of my children, and I'll take care of you.
Yes,
and just over
yes.
and over again, you take care of my children, I'll take care of you. And the Word of God says that if our ways please him, he'll give us the desires of our heart. And I've been blessed to travel and do some amazing things, but I just focus and try to stay in my lane and get out there and work hard with young people and reach out to them. And the key to working with any young person, I don't care what type of reputation they have, and people are afraid, and if I were you, I wouldn't work with those young people, is building relationships. Anytime I separate a young man from a group and I talk to him one-on-one, you find out where they're hurting at. And I'm afraid society or even churches, to a certain extent, we simply placed a Band-Aid on the problem, whereas, you know, there needed to be major surgery performed. And so we've really got to get back to the basics, and churches have to step up. Communities have to step up. People have to pull together. As I always say, there's strength in numbers. So I have sense enough to know that me and my wife, our ministry, we can't do it alone, and that's why we believe in and we partner with other agencies and other people in the community, and we work together towards one common cause.
You know, one of the things about part of your programs that I really am intrigued about is that you literally make home visits and school visits to check on the individuals that have been having particular issues. You talk with them. You check to make sure that they're in school. How did that come about, and what is the impact of that?
Well, it came about simply through parents that you know, wanted, you know, me to come by and to check on the students or whatever. And one thing I've learned is that when you know where a child lives and how they live, you can better understand why he or she acts a particular way or a certain way. If a child is living in poverty, and it doesn't matter about as far as living in poverty, let me change that. If a child is living in an abusive home, because you can live in poverty and you can be a great student, so I want to change that. But if a child is living in an abusive home, and at some point, sooner or later, something has to give. That child maybe acts out at school, or they get into fights, or they're aggressive or whatever. And I work with so many students that come from abusive homes or whatever, and so they act out at school. When they get at school, they're frustrated, they're mad, they're angry, and teachers can't understand, counselors can't understand why he or why she are acting a certain way. But if you sit down and you talk to them, and if you do your homework or whatever and find out where they live and how they live, the better you can deal with them. The more information you have on a child, on children in general, the better that you can deal with them. And that takes a lot of legwork. It takes getting out, getting to know them, where mom works at, where dad works at, is there a father in the home? Or grandparents are taking care of the children. They're old, they're feeble, they're doing the best they can with what they have. They're really not up on the times, and young people are playing games and manipulating or whatever, and there are so many grandparents, and my hat's off to them for what they're doing and trying to do, but it's just sad or whatever. And so we have to take an aggressive stance and say, hey, look, enough is enough. You know?
Yeah. Now, you keep mentioning the fact that you make these school visits, you make these home visits, you do the homework, and the part of the core of the problem is anger, and you are an anger management specialist. When you step in to help these young men, what is the formula to really help them learn about their anger, work through their anger, and find a more productive way of dealing with their situation?
Well, again, it goes back to building a relationship with them. Young people read us pretty well as adults, and they know if you're live or if you're memorick, so to speak. You know, they know if you're the real deal or if you're fake or phony. You know, you're faking it to make it or whatever. And so when they know that you really care, they will sometimes tell you TMI, too much information, you know, to make you go wild. But as you sit down and talk with them and you build relationships and you build that trust, you can begin to help them to understand and look at problems differently. And you know, you inspire, you know, part of our mission is to inspire and to give young people hope and encouragement. And so if I have a young man that's angry, you know, young people just don't go to school and say, I think I'll go and raise hell today at school. But they're angry because I'm seeing this guy hit my mama, and he's not even, you know, my daddy or whatever, you know. And my mom has given him all of her money, and I've had situations exactly like that. I've had a situation to where I'll never forget. I went to a certain school, and this young lady, they wanted me to go in and talk to her. And so I told them I couldn't just go in and talk to her by myself, you know, because I have to always make sure that I'm protected.
Yes.
And so there were glass windows, and they said, we'll be standing right here, you know, watching. And so she went on one end of this big table in the boardroom. I went on the other, And I said, look, young lady, I know you don't know me, and I gave her some of my background and everything. I said, but I'm here to help you. I'm not the enemy. You know, you can talk to me, tell me what's going on, because I know you just didn't wake up and decide to raise hell with your mom and give her a hard time. And she paused for a minute. She took a deep breath, and she began to tell me how her mom gives all of her money to her boyfriend, and he's wearing these starched down jeans or what have you, and how he beats her mom. And so she's lost all respect for her mom. And then she proceeds to tell me how he broke her arm.
Wow.
And her mom lied to the school and said that, you know, she was sick or whatever. And so, you know, this is an honor student. It's just in a bad environment. And so, needless to say, when I saw the mom again, we had a come-to-Jesus meeting, and that counselor told me, she said, I don't know what you said to her or what happened, but she put that guy out or whatever, you know, and so be it. She shouldn't have been with him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because the young lady, she's looking for that relationship with the mom. She's a teenager, and she's at the point of dating and wanting to talk to her mom about boys and so forth, but she's spending so much time with the boyfriend that the young lady feels like she's all alone. She says, ever since he's coming to the picture, things aren't, you know, like they used to be. And so she feels isolated, all alone, that her mom is putting, you know, her own selfish interests and, you know, above hers. And so, you know, she starts, you know, seeking, you know,
attention.
Things on the outside. Right,
you
seeking
know,
attention. Exactly.
Yeah. It seems like when there's a negative environment at home, there's a negative environment in their mental space, which causes a hostile environment in school.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said it seems like you're saying that, you know, when they're dealing with a negative environment at home, it causes a negative inner environment that makes them act out and cause a hostile environment in school, or rather create a hostile environment.
It really does. A lot of times what happens on the weekend or, you know, in the neighborhood, it pours over on Monday morning to, you know, the classroom. And, you know, things are just a lot different now. Counselors have their hands full, you know. When I was coming up, I turned 51 on Sunday, you know. Obviously, we didn't have any security in school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You went to school, and so now things are totally different, and things have progressively changed, you know, and really have gotten worse, you know, versus how they used to be. The parenting, you know, skills and different things aren't the same. There are younger parents now that don't have any type of parenting skills. So part of our program is parenting classes that you need to know how to be a better parent or whatever. And so, you know, we have some classes that you can go through to get the help that you need. We try to eliminate every excuse, you know, and we try to help the total family, because when a child comes to my program, it's not just about helping the child, but it's about helping the parents also.
Yes.
And sometimes, unfortunately, I have to get into people's business or whatever, and I have to talk to them, you know, about certain issues that they really don't want you to know about or try to cover up or whatever. And it's all a part of my job. It comes with the territory, you know. It's tough sometimes, but, you know, God knew what he was doing, because, you know, I don't back up, but I, you know, move forward in the name of Jesus and do what I'm called to do. And I always try and do it decent and in order and, of course, use tact or whatever, but, you know, when you have to look at dad in the eye and say, sir, you know, can I talk to you? And you pull him to the side. He says, sure. And we have what we call our rap sessions. And, you know, during the course of our rap session, you know, your son revealed that when you come home, because the dad's a truck driver, he would much rather you to be able to just sit and talk with you and spend some time. But he said that every time, you know, you come home, that it's nothing but yelling or whatever, and you don't spend any time with him. So, you know, and he looks at me and says, you know, I don't need you telling me what to do. Well, sir, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but I'm simply relaying the information to you that your son relayed to me in the course of our conversation. But now that same guy who got angry with me initially is one of my greatest supporters. So it's a tough job, but I'm fool enough to do it.
Well, I'm grateful that you have decided to be a supporter of the youth as well as their parents. And you're absolutely correct. It takes healing of everyone, not just the child. And you mentioned something earlier during one of our talks about challenging the community to really be a part of this. You said something that I thought was so poignant. You said that even if your own child graduated, just because yes. your own child graduated doesn't mean that you don't come back and help another child graduate. How is it that you challenge your peers in your community to be a part of making sure that the village is really raising the children?
Well, one thing, even there where I work at, you know, the other ministers and pastor friends that I have, I challenge them and challenge them to, you know, get their churches and members involved, especially the ones that are older that, have been through some challenges themselves but have overcome or whatever, you know, and maybe their children have graduated to reach out and to reach back, you know, and to help the mothers out. As I go around and do my motivational speaking, you know, in churches and different places or whatever, you know, I always put the challenge out there, you know, to individuals that, hey, you can make a difference. As I go into the prisons and I'm talking to these guys that are getting ready to get out, that are pre-released, and they got only a matter of days left or a couple of months left, you know, I challenge them to go out and be a father, you know, to your children because they need you, and try and paint them a picture where they can better understand. And also I try to, you know, I lead by example, you know, to be actively involved in my, you know, in our children's lives or whatever alongside my wife. And but sometimes you can reach out to everybody else and sometimes things go lacking at your own house. And so, you know, I have to have balance in my life. And so, that's one thing that has been essential for me is to have that good balance or whatever.
Well, if you know, let me just let the listeners know, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the founder, Sergeant Major Patrick Johnson of J-Star Ministries, discuss his program on how the community should be involved with helping our children and shaping our children to become better individuals in society. Now, you have certain acronyms that I would love for you to really explain more about when it comes to your About Face program. One of them is the ABCs of Life, and the other is GIRL. ABCs of Life stands for Attitude, Behavior, and Choices, and GIRL stands for Girls Impersonating Responsible Ladies. Can you talk to me a little bit about the ABCs of Life, and what do you teach about attitude, behavior, and choices to help turn these lives around?
Sure. I always start out in my presentations by saying that your attitude determines your altitude. You know, you can go high, you can go far, you can do or be whatever you want to be. There are only two types of attitudes, you know, in life. You either have a good attitude or you have a bad attitude. And so we choose our attitude each and every day. You know, we can either wake up and say, hey, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to have a great day. Or we can wake up and we can throw a pity party because of what we don't have and maybe what we haven't accomplished, and we can start blaming others or whatever, and the rest is history. And so, you know, your attitude, I used to have a very negative attitude, so I'm speaking from experience. And, you know, God just really dealt with me on that, you know. Besides a good Lord, we should know ourselves and know our strengths and our weaknesses, and we should do a self-evaluation and take a look at ourselves and those areas that are weak. You know, we all have strengths and we all have weaknesses, and so those areas that are weak, they can become strengths if we work at it. And so I started working at it. I was the type of child, I come from a family of 10 children. There are 5 boys and 5 girls. I'm number 9 of 10. And so I was the worst child in the family. I was the one always getting in trouble, you know, and I've never been in jail or prison other than to get somebody out or to speak or minister, but that could have been me. But I got to a point in my life to where as I got tired of hearing teachers say, boy, I sure hope I don't have that Patrick Johnson in my class next year. Other
oh,
teachers
wow.
would ask why, you know, because of his attitude or because of his behavior or whatever. And so nobody wants to hear anything negative about them. You know, we all love, you know, accolades and positive things. And so we're in control of that, you know. We're the you know, we're the captains of our own ship or whatever, so to speak. And so, you know, we have to change that. So every day that I wake up, I thank the good Lord. I go out with a positive attitude that, you know, and I pray and I ask the good Lord for opportunities, you know, for him to provide opportunities rather for me to minister and make a difference in somebody's life. And you have to be real careful what you ask for because he'll do it. So, but
indeed.
It's a blessing.
Indeed. Well, we have a couple of questions from people who are listening to the show. And one of the concerns is about how do you assure the youth that they can do more, and be greater? Because the concern is, you know, they're very talented, but they have limited views of themselves. And instead of going to schools outside of their neighborhood or possibly going to colleges outside of their neighborhood, they limit themselves at lower ranked schools. And the question is, how do you assure them? How do you go about assuring you that they can do more, and be greater?
Well, the way that I do it is through my motivational speaking, because I'm, again, number 9 of 10 children, and I was the worst in my family. I was the one always getting in trouble. You know,
yeah, what
and,
do you
and,
say
and,
to
and
them?
So,
what do you
I
speak into
about,
them?
You speak life into them and give them hope and encouragement and say, hey, look, I was the worst in my family. I was the one always getting in trouble. I had the bad attitude. I was the one that was on drugs. I was the one that used to be an alcoholic, you know, and now, you know, I'm standing here before, you know, 1,000 people, you know, speaking or whatever and do different things like that. You know, and God enabled me to do it. You know, I decided one day that that wasn't the life that I wanted, you know, with drugs and alcohol, and I woke up and I prayed and asked the good Lord to give me strength to walk away from it, and the rest is history, and here I am. And so, you know, if he did it for me, he can do it for you. You know, you remind them of other people's stories or whatever. Everybody has a story to tell. Everybody has gone through something. My story may not necessarily be the same as yours, but I guarantee you, that you have a story. So your story, you know, can be hope and encouragement and help to inspire. I've got so many letters in my office from students that just hearing my story of how my life changed, you know, especially when you are speaking to students in rural areas that, you know, that there's a big, big population of poor and disadvantaged or whatever, and you speak life into them. You give them hope and encouragement, and what better way than using yourself if you've been through some things, but tell them how you made it out or whatever, you know, and talk about connecting. You know, mentoring is big. I have mentors in my life because I'm not still where I need to be, but I have guys that are a lot more successful and, you know, more intelligent than I am, and I glean from them, you know, I learn from them. I find somebody in the same career field that's doing what I would love to do, that's, you know, successful at it, been doing it for a long time, and find out the, you know, pros and cons of it, and you go from there.
So what I hear you saying is to better connect with them, you make sure that you're an example. You offer a safe space for them to be able to come and speak to you. You stay connected
right.
with them, and then you also offer them mentoring.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is a formula that works for you. Is this the formula that you also teach their parents and other community leaders to help them move further into their lives?
Yes, and sometimes I also with the understanding that what works, you know, what may have worked for me may not necessarily have worked with them, but the majority of the things will, and so sometimes we have to tweak it a little bit. I remember when I first started, you know, the program that I run, the About Face program, I went and I took a look at the programs across Texas, 2 or 3 of them that were considered the best. I learned from the best. Mm-hmm. And I knew that it worked for them. It was a larger area, so it was on a totally different level. But I took some little nuggets from each place that I went to. I took notes and different things, and I came back, and I had to work and realize where I was at, you know, that it was different or whatever. But I took something from each of those places, and I worked it, you know, in the area where I am, you know, and it's working.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, another question that was addressed was the concern about wanting fast money, glorifying money, and having things. When you're talking, and it's a big problem with our youth today, is that something
sure.
that comes from home? Is that something that comes just from them? Is that just like a youthful way of being? What? Where do you feel the origin is, and how do you also, do you use the same type of tactics to help them move past that? Is it really about staying connected with them so that you're able to teach them what true value is?
Yes, I think that it comes from a combination of places. It comes from what they see on TV. It comes from, you know, people in their community or whatever, and it goes from there. But I remind them that those things that come too quick and too easy in life are temporary, and you give them examples, and, you know, I talk about maybe someone or you focus on someone, you know, that was in the spotlight and doing good, but all of a sudden because they took one wrong turn or whatever, now, you know, they're incarcerated or whatever. And I remind them that that could be you. You know, you don't want to head down that same road. And so hard work. One thing my mom taught me, and my dad, he used to sometimes walk to work to make ends meet for a wife and 10 children. So I really admire and respect that about my dad. My mom, she's still living. My dad is deceased, but she's 81 now. I just turned 81 in June on the 22nd. But she worked up until 79 years old. And my mom always taught us that hard work pays off, and she led by example. And so when I look at her life and how blessed she is, you know, those things, those, you know, great morals and values or whatever, she passed, you know, those things on to us. And so we have to in turn, and we have to, you know, it's repetition of whatever reminds students, you know, you can do or be whatever you want to be, you know. When I'm talking to students a lot of times, especially in the African-American community, they want to be rappers or they want to be, you know, go to the NFL or go to the NBA, you know, and I remind them that everybody's not going to be able to go, and I always tell them, I'm not here to be a dream killer, but you should have plan A, and it wouldn't hurt to have plan B and plan C, you know, on a car, you know, on a vehicle. You have a spare. Why? Simply because, you know, you may have an accident or something may come up along the way. And so, you know, and try to get young people to look at it differently. Okay, I hear what you're saying. That's great. You want to be a professional basketball player, but let me give you this what if that doesn't work? And you get them to thinking, well, you know, also, and I talked to a guy 2 days ago, I also would like to be a mechanic. Okay, that's great. Well, who do you know that's a mechanic right now who you can maybe get a summer job with? Go over and talk to him and find out, you know, how long he's been doing what he's been doing. You know, what are the pros and cons? What are the good things, the great things that, you know, he loves about being a mechanic? What are the negative things? And go from there. So those things work for young people. But we just simply have to be consistent. We have to paint them a picture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Another question that we have, and I will read it directly. I'm concerned
sure.
about the young people who are getting good grades and are involved in extracurricular activities because I think we don't acknowledge them enough, and I want to support them, grow them, and help them be better. It's just one bad decision or one time feeling ignored or left out, and they could be caught in a bad situation. How can someone who has this concern, what steps can they take to help? You know, and it's clear that you can't help every single child, but
sure.
what steps can they take so that they can reduce the possibilities of a child making a bad decision because they're feeling ignored or they're just having a bad day?
Well, I think that person that, you know, recognizes that would have to be the voice and would have to be, you know, or need to be the one, you know, encouraging or whatever, but also the adults and others that he or she comes into contact with remind them and encourage them to encourage and to praise our students or whatever. And it's so true, you know, what that person is saying or whatever, but we have to be the voice. We have to encourage, you know, again, that goes back to helping spread the word. As I go around and I talk to parents, I do a parenting class, a seminar, I remind the parents, you know, praise your child. You know, kids get tired of yelling and nagging, and sometimes with moms, you know, moms can yell a whole lot, you know, from what my students tell me, you know, in the program. And so instead of yelling so much, you know, talk and praise them, you know, as a supervisor. You know, you always want to finish on a positive note or whatever, you know. And so just praise them for the things that they, you know, did get right or for what they are doing right, you know. Every child may not necessarily make the honor roll, but if they're making a passing grade, or whatever, you know, praise them for that grade that they made or whatever, you know, and it's just a lot of different ways, but we have to be consistent. We have to be the voice, and then we also have to encourage others that are around us to help spread the word that, hey, we need to remind our children that, that they're doing good and we need to praise them and, you know, give them their flowers while they live.
So it sounds to me like there needs to be a lot of practicing along with parenting classes, because you know, sometimes parents don't always know that. Parents do what they've been taught in their own households, how they grew up. So the parenting classes, of course, help with, you know, helping them teach, or rather teaching them to continuously praise their children when they should be praised. But how do you go about saying, you know what, praise them, but also there should be discipline? Because people don't always want to continuously praise without adding the element of discipline to make sure that the child stays on track.
Right.
Yeah, if you were talking about extracurricular activities and keeping them positive and trying to keep them from making bad decisions, well, a coach should have a lot of say in that, because in my program, as I coach high school girls, I'm a very disciplinary.
You got to tell us who you are. Tell us who you are.
I'm sorry. I am Shanna Johnson. I'm the wife.
Yes.
Yes.
You're the wife and
and
the basketball coach to one of the programs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I coach here at Halton ISD, and I'm a disciplinarian, and the girls know the rules. That's explained on day one. They know the rules, and you have to push those rules. So when you got kids in extracurricular activities and you're trying to keep them on the right track and make right decisions, that coach has got to be a big part of their lives. You know, that coach has got to be there to try to keep them on the right track. I want my kids to sit on the front row in the classroom. I don't want them on the back row. I want them on the front row where they can listen and they can learn. Every 3 weeks I'm checking grades. I'm checking, find out how they're doing in classroom, attitudes with the teachers, everything. And from that point, if they're failing, there's a punishment. If they're disrespecting the teacher, there's a punishment. And after a while, the kids will get to know the coach and want to do what the coach asks. And you won't have that problem, because when it come up, should I make this decision, they'll second guess it before they make that dumb decision.
Because they know that there's going to be repercussions to a dumb or bad decision. So your formula is...
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So your formula would be to be the coach that's in their life, make the rules, make sure that they know the rules, and then make sure that the discipline is that you say punishment. What do you mean by punishment?
For instance, if I have a kid failing, they have to run a mile with a weighted basketball above their head. Can't bring the ball down. When they bring the ball down, they start over at one, mm-hmm. at lap one. And then by the time they get around, that's 25 laps around our gym. By the time they get on lap 12, tears are rolling. But I don't let them quit. I don't let them give up. There was kids that wanted to quit basketball. No, you're not quitting. I'm not going to let you quit. I go meet with the parents. This is what happened. This is what I expect. These are my rules. And you got a great kid, and she's not quitting because things get hard. Life is hard. Life is not easy. So you can't quit when things get hard or things get rough.
So the punishment is even in itself encouragement and making sure that they really understand why you're doing what you're doing. And it's not to just make them feel better or make them feel punished, but to continuously encourage them to be their best selves.
Right, because I have girls, like, there was times when one or two were in trouble and the whole team would stop and say, Coach, wait, let us run with them. Can I take a lap for her? Can I push the board for her? They step in, and I look up, and I got the whole team running with basketballs over their head because of one kid. And then I have accountability partners. That
yes.
senior,
Let's
you're accountable.
That.
You're accountable for my ninth grader. I want you to check on her throughout the day, make sure she doesn't need anything. If she needs something, you get it, or if you can't get it, you find me, and I'll make sure it happens.
Now,
you
are
keep
we talking,
her in mind.
When you say that if she needs something, are we talking about help with a classroom? Are we talking about breakfast? Are we talking about basic needs? What are we talking about when we say, you know, whatever this person needs, we need to get it to them?
We're talking about it all, because how can a kid learn if she's hungry? If
yes.
that means I need to go get her out of class and get her some breakfast and get her what she needs to get in that classroom and learn, then I'm willing to do that.
Okay. I love it. I love it. Now, as part of the program, the other acronym, we need to backtrack to the other acronym, and then we're going to take this call because we see, we have a number of calls coming in. But the other acronym you have is Girls Impersonating Responsible Ladies. Can you tell me a little bit about that particular program, that part of the program, to help the girls impersonate responsible ladies?
Sure. That's where our young ladies it deals with self-esteem and a little bit of everything. You know, we really have to work with our young ladies and remind them and let them know that they're beautiful, they're intelligent, and, again, that they can do or be anything that they want to. And so, you know, we have, you know, different ones, you know, different Mary Kay and different ones to work with the young ladies and different speakers to come in just to talk to them about self-esteem, you know, issues and different things like that, personal hygiene, you know, just your basics that maybe they aren't getting at home and nobody took the time out to talk to them or to teach them. And so when a young lady feels, you know, good about herself, she carries herself, I believe, in a different way. If a young lady feels prettier, that she looks nice or that she's dressed nice, you know, we carry ourselves. You know, when we're dressed up, you know, we dress nice, we have a tendency to act different. And so, you know, the better that a young lady feels about herself, you know, I believe that the better she carries herself and the better her chances of success out in the real world.
Wonderful. Now, I love that you mentioned that you have speakers come in, that you have people come in, and I know that you actually accept people you take applications, or I don't know how it is that you do it. How do you go about bringing in individuals to talk with your youth?
Well, I have to, you know, do a background check on the individuals because I'm very careful and very protective of the students. And everybody that says they can do it and says I want to do it are not necessarily the people you need to bring in. And we have to have enough sense to realize and recognize that or whatever. You have some predators or some wolves in sheep's clothing. So, you know, I'm very careful about that. But, you know, you do background checks and you have the individual checked out. The majority of the time when we're bringing different people in or whatever, somebody that we know and know their background and, you know, maybe grew up with them or a recommendation for somebody else, but still you have them checked out or whatever, you know, that have a proven track record, so to speak.
Yes, yes. You make sure that you're applying the principle of protection even when you're bringing other people into the village to encourage the children. I love it. I absolutely love it. You know what, we're going to take a minute and take some calls. And if you are one of the individuals who has a question or a comment about our guest tonight, the telephone number is 347-996-3160. We're going to bring in a caller right now. Your number ends in 4152. Please introduce yourself and let us know what it is that you have to say about our call tonight. You're on the air with Tribal Wisdom.
Yes, my name is Travion Webster. I'm a former student of Sergeant Johnson's program.
Welcome. Welcome, Trevion. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
You had something to say about it.
Well, yes, ma'am. I thought you were really going to ask me questions, but, yeah, I would like to say a couple things.
Okay. I'm happy to ask you questions as well as have you have something to say. So which way would you like to start?
You can start by asking me questions, please.
Certainly. How are you a part of the program?
Well, actually, my mom put me up in the program because of my behavior and at home and classroom, and that's how I was in the program.
What was the behavior that your mom was concerned about?
Acting up in class, not really paying attention.
Now, you say acting up. Does that mean that you would disrupting the teacher? Were you throwing things around? Were you bullying kids? What specifically would you say is acting up?
Disturbing others from learning, I would say most.
Mm-hmm. And so your mom put you into this program, and what happened? You know, what were the things that made the biggest impact on you to turn your life around?
Well, like when Sergeant Major said earlier in the show, he said, your attitude determines your altitude. That's the one thing that really touched my heart when I was in the program, because it really taught me how to control my attitude and just think about things before you act.
Would you say that you were thinking less, or you weren't really thinking before you were doing things? You were just responding to your feelings and emotions?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And how long have you been a part of the program, and what would you say, how has it changed your life? What are the things that you're doing today?
The things that I'm doing today, it's different from last year or two ago. I would go out in the community, I would take trash out for the elderly, help people move in, or sort of things like that. And that's basically things I do.
You make sure that you're still being a volunteer in the community, and you help every age range. I love that you're helping elderly, you're helping your peers as well. Do you have any aspirations for college or what you're going to do with your life?
I really plan on going to college to have my own business. Yes, ma'am.
Do you know what business you'd like to go into?
Kind of, sort of like Sergeant Johnson's, helping young kids with their needs.
Excellent. I'm so happy that you came on and talked about how this program has changed your life. How has it changed the relationship between you and your mom?
It's really great. I treat her differently. I treat her with respect, because I know when my mom goes to work and she comes home, she expects things to be done because she is tired, and she wants to see things very clean around here in decent order.
And you have a better understanding now about how hard she works in order to make sure that she's giving you a good life then?
Yes, ma'am.
Was that something that you didn't understand before?
Yes, ma'am.
So would you say that you felt like you weren't getting enough attention, and now that you understand that she's working toward a better life for you, you are making better decisions in order to help her raise you?
Yes, ma'am.
I love it. I'm so glad that you came on the show and had a testimony about how this program is changing around your life. And I want to bring in another person, because I see that a person with a telephone number ending in 1687 is also in queue, waiting to, I'm not sure if I'm going to have to ask questions or if they have a testimony, but either way, you are on the air with Tribal Wisdom. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Tamiko Allen. I am a parent of Travion.
Oh.
That was just on the air.
Oh. Well, welcome.
Yes, thank you.
I would love to hear more.
Yes, ma'am. I was calling because I am so thankful for Sergeant Johnson, because when I was having problems with Travion, and I had two sons that was in there in the program, and I didn't know where to go. I was looking for places in different states. I was looking for help, didn't know where to go. And so I saw a flyer at the school, and I called them. And so I just thank God for that, because that really changed their life, not only their life, but my life. So now I see the difference, and not only are they making a difference in my life, they're making a difference in their friend's life. So he has helped them, now they're helping others.
Oh, that is wonderful. As a parent, when you realized that you were having particular issues with your sons, what was your thought pattern? I mean, before you found the flyer, what was it that you were doing? Because, you know, I would love to know how parents are handling trying to get help for themselves and for their children. What was the procedure before you found the flyer when you were searching for help? And what made you choose Sergeant Major Patrick?
Well, my first thought was, what am I doing wrong? Where did I go wrong? So I began to talk to them, and I began to pray. And I kept saying, I have to do something. I cannot let them be a menace to society. I have to do something. I cannot stop. I will find someone that would be able to help us. And so when I saw the flyer and I went and sat down and talked with Sergeant Johnson and my family, they were there as well. And they kind of helped me make the decision, is this where they need to be? And when we sit down and talk to Sergeant Johnson, he put God first.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew right then, this is where they need to be, because I wanted God to be number one. I wanted him to be glorified in anything that they do. So I knew that there was hope.
When you said you knew that there was hope, were you at some point feeling like there wasn't? I mean, yeah, did you feel like that there wasn't hope at some point?
Well, I have two boys. And so it was like it was coming from both areas. Different schools were calling. So at some point I did feel like I wanted to give up, and then there was a point, you cannot. You got to get up. You got to fight.
Mm-hmm.
You got to fight for them. So no matter what they have done, no matter what the situation was, no matter what they what they done make me look, because some of the things they were doing were embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get up, and I had to fight for them.
Beautiful.
And so in turn, fight for them, that meant I had to do whatever it takes to help them to succeed. And not only that, Travion had to do the program two times.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to in turn go back and do it again. He didn't get it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to go back again. So sometimes it takes doing it over again in order for them to get the concept. So parents, if you're listening, do not give up on your children. Continue to fight.
Thank you so much for saying that. I love the determination that you were willing to send him back through the program again just to continue to encourage him. And in this program, were you all working together because you said you had your family there. I love that you had your family there at the first meeting with Sergeant Patrick, and then you all continued to support him as a family. Is this correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in saying that. I can't wait to repost your words on Facebook to other parents who might feel that they're in the same position that you were in, and I'm so glad that success has come to your boys. Are they both headed to higher education now? What would you say is the impact, and where are they headed now? What has been the difference?
Well, my son, my oldest son, he's 18. He graduated high school,
mm-hmm.
and so he's on his way to college.
Beautiful.
And he's majoring in criminal justice.
Wonderful.
So it has really impacted his life as well.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I want to say thank you again to Travion's mom for coming on and giving us this testimony that there is hope if we do not give up on our children. I want to also ask and talk about the back-to-school program with Sergeant Patrick. Are you still there, Sergeant Patrick?
The reason for the success of Kevontre and Travion is because of the support that they have. Parents have to support their children through the bad as well as the good. And she is at the top of the list of parents that I work with, and I work with hundreds of kids. But she is at the top of the list, Miss Allen, for just a great parental support or whatever, and determination and not giving up. And that's all the rest of children, having parents that are supportive.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm grateful for that they came on and really talked about how you made the difference and the change in their life. And I want to know more about the back-to-school program that you currently have going on. I want our listeners to be able to know what you're doing, if there's a way for them to contribute somehow. And, of course, you know, I guess the listeners need to know that at some point we have talked about you coming to New York and
right.
doing some programs. But first, let's talk about the back-to-school program that you currently have going on.
Okay. The way that came about, it came about, we've been doing it for 14 years now, and we used to go to an event called Spiritual Encounter in Houston with Dr. Hilliard, and, you know, it wasn't done the same exact way or whatever, but what God showed me, because we would car wash, we would do everything and take a group of on-church students, we'd, you know, make enough money to, you know, pay for the hotels and food and gas or whatever, and we would take them. And I mean, and they even talk about it still to this day because they're adults now, and I see them, you know, at Walmart or somewhere, you know, as I'm out shopping. But God just showed me that you can do this and make a difference right where you are. And so we started putting our own events on. And the first year that we did it, we had bought school supplies for 200 students, and we had 60 students show up. We did it in Marshall, Texas at the Civic Center, and we had 25 parents show up, so a total of 85 with parents and children. And I was just really, you know, upset because, you know, I was expecting more, looking forward to having more there. And my friend reminded me, look, the ones that are here, you know, are here. You weren't ready for a big group. You know, you have to crawl before you walk, you know, learn from this. And it reminded me that there was a certain professional football player that had a camp and didn't have as many people there. So he said, you're in pretty good shape. And anyway, long story short, it grew and grew. And the youth explosion is simply our back to school. We give our preschool supplies. We purchase backpacks through one of the local companies, and they're less than $3 that we pay for brand new backpacks. We don't give out anything used. It's brand new. We want all the kids to be on a level playing field when they start school. When school supplies are a big deal, if you're a single parent with several kids and trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents, it's tough. And mm-hmm. We started that. We're year-round supply of school supplies. Again, this is our 14th year. It's coming up this Saturday at Forest Park Middle School in Longview, Texas, 1644 North Eastman Road. And we'll have our guest speaker will be Pastor Ricardo Miller from Dallas-Fort Worth. Ricardo Miller, Children's Ministries, great friend of mine, personal friend and brother in Christ. We'll have praise dancers, singers, black, white, Hispanic. We'll have local nonprofit organizations that are specifically youth-focused. We'll have ECCOTA, East Texas Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. We'll have SHRET, Special Health Resources of East Texas, that deals with STDs and so forth. We'll have Partners in Prevention. We'll have Wellness Point, who I'm employed by. We'll have 7 or 8 different booths set up for youth programs that we have there at Wellness Point, and just a lot of others. We have over $4,000 worth of free meal vouchers.
Wonderful. And you have those vouchers in backpacks.
Yes, we have hats, we have T-shirts, we have Six Flags tickets. We'll probably get a bicycle or two. You know, we'll have gospel rappers there. We'll have, like I said, musical guests singing in English and Spanish. And Maggie Gonzalez, good friend who's been with us for years and years, is going to sing in English and Spanish. We don't want anybody to feel left out, and so it's going to be a great time. It's going to start at 10 o'clock that morning and go until 1 o'clock. And, you know, we're year-round supply of school supplies, so even after the event, if there are students that, let's say, their families just moved in or what have you, or they're struggling and need some help, they can call us, and we'll deliver them to them. We want to make sure that our kids are taken care of. And the reason being, it's a big deal when a child goes to school and they feel ashamed or they feel bad when they don't have the necessary items that they need. And obviously, we also want to be honest that we can't give them every single item that they need, but we give them a lot of what they need to really help impact the situation to whereas they can get a good start, you know, in school. And so, you know, that's what it's about.
Wonderful. I'm so glad that Texas is very lucky to have you there with them to provide school supplies meal vouchers, and to really try to meet the basic needs of each child as well as the emotional needs of each child and push them towards success and not give up on them. I really want to thank both you and your wife for coming on tonight's show and letting us know about the wonderful things that you're doing. If you don't realize that, you know, we've been talking for more than an hour.
Right, right.
And the time just went so fast. What'd you say?
Yes, I would like to say real quick, if anybody would like to donate or check out our website address is www.jstarministries.com. You can do it by PayPal, or if somebody wants to donate by check or mail us a check, they can make it out to J-STAR Ministries. And our address is up on our website, or if they would like to book me for a speaking engagement, my number is 903-424-1757. And definitely we look forward to coming to New York next year.
Yes.
And before we end the program, I'd like to leave the listeners with this poem, if I could.
Yes, please do. And I just want to let the listeners know that I'm going to be putting all that information into the event where they can find you. They will be able to check the show notes on the website as well, where they'll get a copy of the main points of this conversation, as well as how they can donate to you. So please, if you want to leave us with a poem, we are ready.
It's called Juvenile Delinquency. We read in the papers and we hear on the air of stealings and killings and crime everywhere. And we sigh as we say how we notice the trend. This young generation, where will it end? But can we be sure that it's their fault alone? That maybe a part of it isn't our own? Are we less guilty who place in their way? Too many things that lead them astray. Too much money, too much idle time. Too many movies of passion and crime. Too many books not fit to be read. Too much evil on the TV instead. Too many children encouraged to roam. Too many parents who won't stay at home. Kids don't make the movies. They don't write the books that paint funny pictures of gangsters. They don't make the liquor. They don't run the bars. They don't make the laws, and they don't buy the cars. They don't make drugs that kill the brain. That's all done by older folks greedy for gain. Delinquent teenagers, oh, how we condemn the sins of the nation, but yet we blame it on them. But the laws of the blameless, the Savior made known. Who is there amongst us to cast the first stone? For in so many cases, it's sad, but it's true. The title delinquent fits older folks, too. God bless you, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much to Sergeant and Mrs. Johnson for being on the show tonight, for sharing their programs. We look forward to having them here in New York next year with a program of them teaching what they do, teaching how to start your own nonprofit, and showing us all the impact that they have made in their community. We love you. We thank you for joining Tribal Wisdom tonight. Remember that this whole month is all about back to school and teaching our young people to become productive citizens here or wherever you are. We want to say good night, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Tribal Wisdom. Stop by BridalTribe.com and visit our media page for full recaps of every show, amazing articles, and free downloads. We have an ever-growing library of knowledgeable guests with vital information for any stage of your relationship. At Tribal Wisdom, we are order and excellence in action, and we are devoted to love.